Greetings, extended guildies. This is Garamond Wall, a.k.a. Matty Hayes, a.k.a. Strong Coffee, a.k.a. Big Daddy Goose. And you're listening to Guildcast with your host, Sean. Enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the 72nd episode of Guildcast for May 25th, 2007. I'm your host, Sean. On this episode, I got together with Lady Sinea to record a much-needed email show over Skype, where we answer a few of the email questions from listeners over the past few months. We haven't really had one of these in a long time, and it was mainly because of things like scheduling, etc., but I also haven't really been receiving as many emails as before. Although my in-game PMs seem to have quadrupled for some reason. So, without trying to sound too much like a jerk, let me just say this now. If you'd like to tell me about something, like how, you know, you have this awesome new build, or this great story from a mission you ran last night, or your life story, or whatever it is, just go ahead and email me. It's Sean at guildcast.com, S-H-A-W-N at guildcast.com. PMing me in-game repeatedly will probably not result in an answer from me, so please, I'm not trying to be mean here, I just would rather spend those few moments that I actually get to go on Guild Wars to actually play Guild Wars. So if you have a question or comment for me, just please email me. I really do appreciate it. And the emails that you send in will more than likely make it to an email show if they ask a good question. So if you email me, you'll actually have a possibility of hearing your email on a future show. Anyway, enough of that. Let's go ahead with the people who asked to be mentioned this week. They include Savior of the Trees, Salius Grode, Lord Raven Killer, and Deathwalker Necro. Now, before I play this Skype recording, there's a few things I wanted to mention. There's some news since we recorded this last week, actually. It was last Friday when we recorded this. First off, in the recording, we mentioned the fact that there hasn't really been any new info on Eye of the North lately. But actually, just a few days ago, on I believe it was May 21st, there were some brand new info on IGN.com, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes for today. It's an article that contains some great screenshots of Eye of the North and some backstory, you know, like the lore and a little bit of the history of where Eye of the North falls into the whole Tyrion, you know, storyline. It's a pretty good read. It's a good article. So just be sure to check that out. Oh, and one more thing. After the Skype recording, I'm going to play a segment submitted to me by Logan Starlogic. At first, I wasn't going to use any segments at all this week, and I actually told some of the regular contributors, you know, not to worry about this week. But Logan actually sent me this over a week ago, and he had it all completed and all ready, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a good little segment, so I thought I'd just go ahead and play it in this episode and just see what you guys think. Okay, one more thing. Promise is the last thing. I want to make sure that the people who plan on attending the San Francisco meet and greet on June 26th, just make sure if you know you're going for sure, or if you think there's a good possibility that you're going, go ahead and email me at sean@guildcast.com and let me know how many people that you'll be bringing along. Because what we want to do is we want to get a nice little head count. I'm going to be... Hopefully, I'm going to have some stickers to hand out, and I'm sure there will be a few things that we want to give away here and there. Nothing, you know, too big, but we just want to get a nice head count so we know who we're looking for, and in case some people end up showing up late or whatever, you know, we just want to make sure that we get everybody accounted for, I guess you could say. So email me, Sean@guildcast.com, and let me know if you plan on attending or not. So anyway, here's the Skype recording, and enjoy. All right, so let's get started, shall we?
All right.
We're here with Lady Sinea, and we haven't done an email show in a long time, Skype
it's
show.
Like January.
Yeah, and actually, it's funny because I went through all my old emails and I was looking for for ones that we didn't discuss, and yeah, sure enough, back in January there were some that we didn't read, and there's a lot of them that I don't remember if I read or not, and then there were some that people were asking for shout-outs, and I don't think I ever gave them shout-outs.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. Just so everybody knows, I have a really bad memory, so, yeah, that's my excuse. But we're going to go ahead and read a lot of these. I picked a few out. I don't know how much. Probably about 7 or 8 I picked out. I didn't go as far back as January. A lot of those emails I answered already, either to them or whatever. And actually, I think one or two of the emails I'm going to read today, I answered in a reply to them. But I wanted to read it on the show anyway to help other people out.
Sure, okay.
Did you have any emails that you wanted to read?
I don't think so. I think I've taken care of them as they came in.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to get a little better at that, replying to the emails. A lot of times I'll get them and actually, what's funny is there was a recent episode of Virgin Worlds. I think it was the latest one or the one before that, where Brent was saying that, he answers every single email either directly to the person or on the show. And I'm like, man, I feel horrible. I don't do that. So we're going to try to make up for it a little bit today. So this one is from Seraphim Endeavor, and he says, Sean, I posted this topic in the lounge in the forums, and I was thinking maybe this would be a potential item to discuss on the show also. I was questing the other day with a random player, and I was taking my ranger that I just created through factions. After we finished the quest, he asked me a question that really concerned me. Do you tip? Tipping higher levels for helping you through quests and missions is what he meant. Okay, I've been playing Guild Wars for about 5 months now, and I have helped many low levels through quests and haven't asked for a thing. This really bothers me that the fun of the game has to be ruined for newbies because you have these players that think they're big shots asking for money. I mean, it's a game. It's supposed to be multiplayer, but this may be why many people are henching their way through the games. I want to know if you guys feel the same way. And he did make a post about that in the forums as well. I know there were a lot of people who answered. How do you feel about tipping?
I think if the person says up front, hey, I'm running somewhere for tips, you should tip them. But if like somebody randomly joins your group and is like, want help? And you do quests together, I don't think you have to tip them. I mean, you could if you're like particularly grateful.
Yeah.
If it was like a very difficult quest for your level, or it's like a voluntary thing, unless it was like upfront and they said, I'm helping do the Ashes quest for tips, right? But
yeah.
Otherwise, don't people just party anyway? I used to just go into the low-level missions and like barrage everything to death in like one hit just because I enjoyed doing it, and I would grab some level 4s and do it just for fun, but
yeah.
I mean, I've never expected anybody to give tips for that.
Yeah, and especially after the quest is over, you don't ask for a tip after that. So, yeah, I think that was pretty much the consensus in the forum post too that he made. Everybody pretty much said, yeah, if it's up front and you say, I'll do this for tips, then hey, that's one thing. But if you do a quest with someone, then later on say, oh, by the way, I accept tips. it's kind of a different thing. So then we got this other email from, his name is Ara of the Forest, and I do believe I mentioned him on the show, because he asked for a shout-out in this. I think I got that one right. He says, hi there, I go by the name Ara of the Forest in Guild Wars. I'm a Guildcast fan from all the way down in South Africa. Letting you know, keep up the good work on the show. And he says, and that Jenna, I don't know where you got her, but man, I wish there were more girls like her in the world. Also, to Lady Sinea, good work. I started with Nightfall, and I fell in love with it, and then factions, and then got prophecies. So he kind of did it backwards, I'd say.
Okay.
I just wanted to say a few things about your next show. That's about being a good guild leader. So yeah, this is a little old. Now this, let me see, this is a lot of this he's talking about his guild. So I'll skip that. But he talks about, he says, but back on the subject to be a good guild leader. Well, I don't really think that all the work should come from the leader, because one person can do so much. But being a leader, you have some responsibilities and can't just sit back and do nothing. That's why I think officers are there for helping with keeping the guild alive. It's not so much as just buying everything in the guild hall and just recruiting people in the guild without even knowing who they are. But I think it's more about guys and girls that form like a Guild Wars family. People you can chat with, quest with, and all the other stuff that makes a good multiplayer game. Because you don't want to end up with a lot of people you hardly even know that come in and go whenever they want, and forming a group for GBG or AB and finding out that they know absolutely nothing about what's going on, and making you lose for a dumb reason. This is all very true. So basically what he's saying is, he's kind of reiterating a lot of the things that I said in the Guild Leader episode, which was quite a while ago. I guess, what, a month and a half ago? At least a month ago. But, you know, a lot of the, when I did the Guild Leader episode, a lot of the people that I interviewed were saying that, you know, it has more to do with friends than anything else. You know, a lot of times people figure out that they get in these guilds where they'll have a certain thing to do, like, take, for instance, faction farming. And I'm not saying anything bad about faction farming, or I'm not saying it doesn't work, but a lot of times people get burned out on that because they join it for that one reason of faction farming. And it's like in this email, he's saying that there's so much more to it, you know, like with friends, especially with, like, building a family in this guild. And so I think that's really important. I just wanted to point that out, that he was really agreeing with that. And also I wanted to make sure I gave him that shout-out because he... He says, if you could mention me, Ara of the Forest, in your next episode. And I don't know if I did or not, but there you go.
So no, I don't really have anything to add to that.
Yeah, it's not really a question. It's just more or less, I just wanted to read that.
Though, of course, if he sent it to you before you did the episode, he came up with all this stuff on his own, not after listening to you.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true, yeah, because he does say, about your next episode, yeah. Okay, so the next one. It's from a character named Zacian's Arrow. It says, hi, I'm new to your Guildcast episodes, but I must say that the first episode I listened to on targeting priority, episode 66, was very interesting, and I put those tactics in use straight away, and we came out winning 5 consecutive GVGs with the help of what you said. I plan to continue listening and watching Guildcast for pretty much ever, so don't stop.
Nice.
Well, that's cool. 5 consecutives, just because of what I said? I think there's probably more to it than that.
But, there's a little feather in your cap.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and take the credit for that. again, this doesn't have a question, but let me find an email with a question, an actual question.
You just pulled out all the emails that said, Sean, you rock, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty much, yeah.
You're biased.
Let's see if I can find one that doesn't say I rock. Nope, there are none. Nope, they all say I rock. We got this next one that says, hey, Sean and Lady Sinea. I love the show, and I just started listening at episode 60. I used to just play the game occasionally, but listening to your show really gets me pumped up to play or try out new things. So I actually canceled my WoW account to make Guild Wars my primary game, and I love it. Here's my question to you. See, there's a question right there. I know you did a show about titles back on episode 44, but I want to know what your favorite title is, or maybe the one that you have the best memory of getting. Thanks, keep it up, Gordon.
Ooh.
I think that's a good question.
What's your favorite title?
Yeah. Or at least the one that you have the best memory of getting.
Okay, you go first.
Oh. Well, I don't really have a lot of titles. I think I don't have any. Well, I have a. My only max title I think I have is Protector of Tyria. And but I have a lot of other titles I'm working up a little bit. I think probably the most fun one is Drunkard. just because of the whole premise of it. But a couple of the other ones, let's see what else. I don't have Guild Wars open right now, but I'm trying to picture my titles right now. I have Sunspear 9. What is that? Spear Marshal. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that one's kind of fun because it's just, well, it's basically grinding, but I don't mind it so much. But yeah, I'd probably say Drunkard. That's probably the most fun I've had. How about you?
Do you have the Drunkard title?
No, not
still
yet.
Still working on it.
See that? Yeah, that's the thing right there. I don't even have it yet.
I've always maybe by liked the title just because of the premise of it, but I've never had the patience to go do it.
Yeah, it's a lot harder than I thought. I'm about halfway there, but it's pretty difficult.
Yeah. Unlike the sugar title, in which you can just take as many sugar items as you want all at once, you don't have to worry about maximizing the greatest benefit of how many items you have.
Yeah, I saw this guide on GuildWiki about the Drunkard title, like, if you zone out at 20 seconds and you do this and that, and I'm like, nah.
Yeah, there's like this whole thing about how you can, there's like a bug and it'll allow you to get more benefit.
Yeah, but I just drink. For a while there, I was going for Drunkard and Sugar Rush, so I'm running around Lion's Arch, you know, at whatever 25% speed boost with the blurry screen. That got old after a little while. And then I figured out that there's no way I would have enough money for both titles, so I just concentrate on Drunkard.
Oh my god.
So how about you? What's your favorite?
Let's see. I've had the most fun doing the Protector titles and the skill capping ones.
Oh, yeah, skill capping.
Those are the two that I've had the most fun doing.
Yeah.
And then I'm, like, maybe 3/4 of the way to the second tier of Friend of the Curzix, and I've just worked on that periodically as I just feel like ABing every now and then.
Yeah.
So that one's enjoyable, though. I'm never, ever going to do enough faction farming to get any higher than tier 2, but...
Yeah, I forgot about skill capping. That's actually pretty fun. I don't have a title in it yet because I was in the 80s, almost to 90, and then they split it. So, now I have to concentrate on one instead of all of them. But
well, it's actually better if you don't have them from all the campaigns yet. You see what skills are available in multiple places. Because sometimes you can get, like, 2 to 3 skills in one place.
Yeah.
Without changing your secondary. You can go on one run and get, like, you bring 3 SIGs with you, you know?
Yeah, especially in Tyria.
Right. Yeah. And, sometimes in Tyria, not all the bosses spawn.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're in a zone where there's, you doing your monk?
No, my necromancer.
Your necro? So it's, like, sometimes there'll be, like, maybe if there's, like, one necro skill and... I think there was, like, an area that had, like, 2 ritualist skills. So if you have, like, maybe 2 necro skills and 2 ritualists, you can get 5 elites on your bar at once.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing a screen cap that you did. Didn't you have, like, 5 or 6?
I think I've only had 4. Loudon's taken a cap of having more.
Loudon does everything more.
I know, it's not fair. Good thing he doesn't listen to the show, because we don't want to give him too big of a head.
Yeah, really. We always end up mentioning him somewhere.
And then I am having fun with the sugar title. I've gotten the first tier. I have, and I have to mention all the people who have either given me items or sold me or traded me items. So let's see.
Your suppliers?
My drug dealers. Let's see. Jacob Thespins, A Sidewalk, Press Tab Again, Gentle Berserker, Yoruichi Stonevale, Bauer Dean, Minion of Whispers, Drachner Deathbane, and then I know there was somebody else that I was talking to just the other day, and I don't have it written down, but... And then, of course, you know, just my my guildies or whatnot have been like, oh, I found another one. Here, you can have it. Woohoo!
Well, if I were to mention my main supplier, it would be, there's this chick named Sanea. Maybe you've heard of her.
Who's that?
I don't know, but she has quite a supply of the good stuff.
You just like those spiked eggnogs.
Totally.
No, I had, like, tons of those, festival items, which is what some of these people had, is like, they just had stashes of festival items that they're never going to use, so mm-hmm. they were able to sell them to me easily.
So you're just the middleman.
No. I just had those alcohols just were my my own that I had just been hoarding for forever.
Okay.
So I gave those to you, and then people who just had like, oh yeah, I had these extra bean cakes, you can buy them for cheap.
See, now wouldn't it be cool if, like in Guild Wars 2, people talk about them making a crafting class? Wouldn't it be cool if you could make alcohol or something and sell it? You have like a moonshine business in Guild Wars. I'd be all about that.
Oh god, that would be fun though.
Yeah. But, so you heard it here first. If they make that in Guild Wars 2.
If they make it so that, like, you're different, you could choose different crafting professions, you'd be like,
yeah,
I am a brewer.
Seriously, that would be so cool. And then you have to make one for sugar, and, oh, man. There'd be, like, cartels and the mafia and everything. That would be really cool. Okay, so maybe we should move on to the next teammate.
I was thinking about, like, making a guild that was, like, your guildcast brewery.
Or you could make a guild, and it would be, like, a construction guild, which would be a front for your actual guild. You say you're in the import-export business.
And, and if you know the right password, you can get into where all the good stuff is kept.
Yep. And the officers could, like, go out and cap people. And capping would take on a whole different meaning.
Well, if you start a business like that, I'll make a guild that will be like your muscle to protect you.
Awesome.
Okay, yeah, we should probably talk about something else.
Yeah, let's...
What's the next email?
So the next email, this is from Ashti Konkano. I think I've said it wrong every other time.
We pronounce it different every single time.
Yeah,
and when
we
meet him, he's going to have to tell us his real name so we don't keep calling him, like, pronouncing his name wrong every single time.
He says, hey, you guys, just wanted to ask what both of your thoughts were on the article about Guild Wars 2 and Guild Wars Eye of the North. I've been spending the last couple of days reading all of the forums, including yours, and am amazed by the GW community, Gail Gray, and Anet. Just was curious about both of your thoughts and if both of you were planning to address this news and the uproar that it's caused on the next show. And he wrote this a long time ago, actually.
Yeah, are you planning on discussing that with anybody?
Well, that's what I was wondering. If
no, he sent that email before that episode came out.
Yeah, he did. It was before the Chris and Salvatore thing. But... And I know we talked a little bit about it on that show, you know, we kind of gave our views and everything. But the main reason I wanted to read this today was because I wanted to see if your views have changed at all since the announcement first came out.
Well, my views were, let's read the article and find out.
And now that you've read the article?
It still doesn't say a whole lot. I've heard different rumors and I haven't taken the time to go see which ones were fact and which ones weren't, as far as, like, I heard different things, like, they're going to change the movement system, we knew that, but it was going to do things like they're going to do away with point-to-click,
Yeah, I don't know if I like that, because that's always my escape. When I'm being attacked or something, I'll click on the screen and run away.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of different things. I heard that there's still going to be the two-class system, where you have, like, a primary and secondary, which is good, because it seems like they know how to do that, and they know how to keep it balanced, so I trust that that will work out well. But I've just heard a bunch of various things, and I don't know what's true and what's not, so...
Yeah, and since that article came out, there really hasn't been too much news, you know, aside from that. I'd say they're due for some news pretty soon here. But they really told a lot in that article, I would say, especially concerning, you know, the way that our characters are... Well, the characters themselves won't be able to transfer to Guild Wars 2, but, like, their legend will, I guess you could say, through the Hall of Monuments, you know. And now, I don't know for sure. Maybe it said that in an article. I don't know. But do you know anything about items being carried over? I think it said that certain items or something.
Yeah, it was... Let me grab it. Yeah, in this article, on page 29, it says, "The Hall of Monuments. You won't have the option to migrate characters from Guild Wars 1 to Guild Wars 2, but you will be able to carry achievements forward via the new Hall of Monuments. Actively built via quests in Eye of the North, your Hall of Monuments acts as a record of your achievements. So if you're kind of a big deal, maybe you're an eminent hero, a master cartographer, or a devotee of wisdom, then your deeds will go down in history via a monument in your honor. But in addition to demonstrating your dominance, the Hall of Monuments will act like a family inheritance in Guild Wars 2, a place where your Guild Wars 1 titles and mini-pets, for example, are displayed and allow you access to certain Guild Wars 2 benefits." So that sounds like it's displayed and not accessible, right? But
it does.
It says then, "For example, special weapons you earned in Guild Wars 1 may be in a display case in your Hall of Monuments, and your Guild Wars 2 character will be able to take them out and use them."
Oh, nice.
The Hall of Monuments is only available in Eye of the North, so blah, blah, blah. You want to buy Eye of the North. But see, all before that point, I had thought, okay, it's just going to be somewhere where you can, like, show off the stuff that you've done, because that's what most titles are. There actually are a bunch of titles that give you an in-game benefit now. But, like, a lot of them is just for show. You go check out what I've done, right? So the Hall of Monuments is kind of like that. But this says, "Special weapons you earned may be in a display case, and your Guild Wars 2 character will be able to take them out and use them."
I imagine it would probably be like you can only maybe put a certain amount in, maybe 5 or something like that.
Yeah, but there's that. But we know... My bird is so loud. We know that they said there's going to be no money transfer, right? Because they don't want to mess up the economy right from the start. But say you put a whole bunch of green items in there and you start using them right away. That is automatically going to have some kind of impact. Unless, of course, maybe like your items in the Hall of Monuments automatically get tied to your account so you can't sell them.
Yeah.
Kind of like your pre-order items. You can't give them to anybody, so it only affects you, so it wouldn't impact the economy.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Or maybe, like, you know, when factions came out and they had all the new greens, it pretty much made the Tyrian greens useless, or a lot of them. Maybe it'll be kind of the same situation.
I'm not talking to you anymore.
I'm talking from an economic standpoint. Like,
I resign.
Okay, Victo's Bulwark, that thing went down from, it was like 100k, and
but
how much
even,
that? Like
even prior to factions coming out, it had dropped to maybe about 60, and then after factions came out, it dropped to like 30. And then, I don't know how much it is now, it's probably pretty darn cheap. But
yeah, I mean,
that's
what I mean.
Now you can inscribe shields, which was, you could never do that before, so shield prices could be quite high, because there was no way to modify them.
That's exactly my point. I mean, maybe they'll come up with something else in Guild Wars 2 to these new weapons that'll just make them so much better than anything you could have before. So the worth of these old weapons won't be as much, sure. Although you can still display them, you know, or take them out and play with them or whatever.
The look at my little Roggos plane stuff. Aww.
Plus, they're going to be, like, what, 100 years old? They might break if you...
They're magical. Hello.
But, yeah, I think as far as my views on Guild Wars 2, I don't know yet. I think it'll be interesting. It'll be nice, as a lot of people have said, to kind of start over. I'm pretty excited to see what they have in store, what kind of things that they couldn't do, you know, with Guild Wars 1 that they're going to be doing with Guild Wars 2.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we know some simple things, like they want to add different movement things, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not really excited to find out, but more, I mean, I'm interested and a little bit apprehensive because, you know, there's, like, rumors about things like there's going to be really high-level grinds or whatnot, and one of the coolest things about Guild Wars is that the level 2 cap, or level 20 cap, makes it so that you don't have to, like, be of a really high level in order to be competitive or to be able to play with your friends. There's no necessity to keep grinding for levels. And, you know, a level 18 is not really different from a level 20 stat-wise, you know? But, yeah. But like, in other, like, RPGs and such, it's like, every time you gain a level, you get, like, a little bit stronger, and a little bit stronger, and it's not necessarily based on your skill, it's just, like, everybody's got the same skills, you get certain skills at certain levels, or you have, like, you have access to certain skills, and then, like, you just get stronger and stronger with every single level. So then it's like, well, I'm gonna kick your butt in PvP just because I'm level 60 and you're level 54. I mean, I just think that's ridiculous and stupid. So, I really hope that, I mean, there's been a bunch of things that say, like, ArenaNet's going to try to make some aspects of Guild Wars more like a traditional MMO. And, you know, in a lot of ways, I trust them and say, you know what, they knew what made a good game, so I'm sure they'll just make improvements. But on the other hand, I'm not so sure about some of the things that I've heard, and I just don't want them to screw the game up. I mean, it may appeal to a totally different demographic, which is, you know, they want, of course, to, like, appeal to us, but they also want to pull in more people. So I don't know what they're going to do from that.
Yeah, it seems kind of strange that a lot of the things that they, you know, they built Guild Wars on, a lot of innovative ideas, and not including the monthly fee thing, that was huge, but the level 20 cap, you know, making it a two-class system, which they're still going to keep. But it seems like a lot of the things are just completely changing, and they make it seem like they didn't do it right, and they're changing it to do it, quote-unquote, right this time. But I think they did it right. I think, you know, they did a lot of innovative things, and I think it worked for them. And that's why I don't understand why they're changing it all. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I know is probably a nightmare is every single time they made a new chapter, they would have to make plenty of content for everybody who was already level 20, and then also create a newbie experience, which you would have for, like, anybody who's jumping into the game now, but also, like, so it's like, it would have to be good to teach people who are just learning how to play, and also not make the current players who want to make a new character, like, pull their hair out because it's going too slow or whatnot, you know?
Yeah, that's one thing I definitely do agree, is that the campaign system was just not going to work anymore. I mean, it worked, you know, for two of them, but it would just get out of control.
Yeah, so I could see it would be hard for them to, like, figure that out and make it different every single time.
Okay. So, let's go on to the next one. I think we covered that one pretty well. Okay, this one says, this is actually to me and Jenna. I don't know why. Says, I thought this was a pretty good email, though. It's not a question, again, but I thought it was kind of funny. He says, how about a shout out for the unsung heroes, the Rangers' pets? I don't care about a shout out for myself, but I would never have made it so far without my best buddy by my side. I'd like to humbly request a shout out for my ranger pet, Spuds. And then he includes a picture of his tiger, Spuds, his pet. And then he also includes a picture of his cat, of his real cat. And that it says Spud. So I guess his cat's name is Spuds also. And then at the bottom he says, P.S. You should have seen the look on my wife's face when she saw me writing this email. I'm still not sure what to make of it. Puzzlement? Disgust? Big hopeless sigh? So I thought that was kind of funny, you know. He just wants to give a shout out to the pets. And I agree, I love the pets in Guild
Wars. Go Spuds! I have two guildies who, they're a married couple, and when they were off for spring break, because they're teachers, they had plenty of time to play Guild Wars. So one of their projects, was they went and got a different pet for every single one of their heroes. So they had a group of 8 different pets. And so they're like, check out our zoo.
I tried to do that. I did that with most of my heroes. I know, like, in Jenna's guild, they do that where they'll all run out together and get pets, you know, for each hero. I like some of the... There are certain ones I like and certain ones I don't really care for, but I always try to get at least, like, a crocodile, a hyena, a crane, a lion. I try to get, you know, at least one of those for my heroes. It's fun stuff. Okay. This one's kind of long. And he has questions at the end. Okay. Dear Sean, I first found out about your show when it was around episode 6 and have loved it from the start. I remember the first time Lady Sinéa joined the show and absolutely love her wit and charm. Okay, I don't have to read that part. Oh.
Now, speaking of which, wasn't I supposed to get a raise at some point, you know?
Another one? Jeez. He says, I really think she needs to get her own talk show. Oh, I shouldn't have read that part. I just finished listening to episode 70. Hey, episode 70? I'm getting on current emails now. Forget the Oscars or Grammys. We need an awards show for podcasts. Between the great piece on pre-searing enthusiasts to the touching word on the street, it was a stellar show. But I digress. I started playing Guild Wars back when there was just Prophecies in August of 2005, and I immediately fell in love. I played it solidly for a little over a year and even got factions. He says, a.k.a. the worst piece of crap in Tyria. But sometime in early fall of 2006, school got way too busy and I had to give it up. I occasionally come back for a quick PvP fight and for a couple of world events, but I haven't really joined back in since the fall of 2006. So here are my questions. What advice do you have for players who have for some reason or another left the game and have now come back? What's a good way to warm ourselves up for the game mechanics, like getting reacquainted with fighting? Do we need to catch up on the updates and the changes in the game, or just jump back in? I really want to get back in the game since I now have more free time, and I also want to get ready for the new Eye of the North expansion. Eternal thanks, Richard from Alabama. So, he's basically asking, you know, what's a good method for a returning player to get back
in? You know, that's really interesting because I always have guildies who, like, have been gone for months and then they come back to the game and so much has happened in the period of time when they were gone, whereas, you know, we've been gradually acclimated to the different changes, but to them it's like, whoa, everything's different because, I mean, there's, like, simple things like how to change your skills is different. No, it's the skill window and the and your stats are all in one place now. And just like simple things that they just look different than they did before.
Yeah, I replied to his email and I wrote a bunch about well, of course I told him he needs to listen to all the Guildcasts. And but there's just when you sit down and think about it, like when I was replying to his email, I sat down and I thought about it and I thought, okay, well there's heroes, you know. And then I thought, well, and then there's the storage upgrades, and then there's the whole UI changes, and then there's, you know, this and that, and it's just, you start thinking about inscriptions and you know, insignias and all this stuff. Really, there's been a lot that's changed. And it's like you said, you know, if you get out of it for even a little while, they make so many changes in this game and so many improvements, I think, that it really, you don't even know where to start. And like, what I told him, actually in the email when I wrote him, I said, what I would do is jump back in, and then, because if you sit there and you read through all the updates, you're going to be like, okay, what's this? It's like when you buy something, you buy a new game, you don't sit down and read the instruction manual first. You jump into the game, and then later on you go back and you look at the instruction manual and you say, oh, that's what that was that
yeah,
I saw.
Yeah, once you get a little bit of feeling for it.
Yeah, yeah. So that'd be my advice.
I would say jump back into the game with whatever characters you currently have. Take a look around, see what there is. And then for all of the new things that came out with Nightfall, that's pretty easy because it introduces you to it on a pretty nice gradient as you go through the missions and whatnot. It'll, like, you take a quest and it'll show you, like, if you place a flag here, the hero will do this, you know? And so, that's kind of nice. But for the general UI stuff, yes, you gotta, like, tinker around with it a little bit and see what's new. Oh, and there are podcast awards. They're actually quite a serious affair, and people, you know, they do go to awards ceremonies and whatnot for them.
Yeah. And isn't the Podcast Expo, that's coming up pretty soon.
I don't know.
I think. Out in your neck of the woods. Everything's out in your neck
that's
of the woods.
It's because I'm cool. Everything comes to me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that right?
You are.
That's true.
And that other dude, his name slips my mind, but...
All right, so we have one more. The final email.
Dun, dun, dun.
We need a drum roll or something. This is our final email until the next email show about 6 months from now. Okay, he says, hey, Sean. This is kind of funny. I'm a big fan of the show. I swear you sound just like Wayne Campbell. Mike Myers' character from Wayne's World. The accent places you around Chicagoland. Is that so? I'm out in Aurora, so I might have to buy you a beer. Well, actually, that was pretty good because I actually am from Chicago, but I no longer live there. And he says, I've put together a primer for people to get into hero battles now that everyone is psyched up to show their 1v1 skills with the rank and tournament systems. I thought I'd pass it on to you with permission to use it or any part within your show. And he gives a link, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this link in the show notes for today because it's really quite good. His name is Tim, and he wrote this article in his guild's forums, but it's an open forum. You don't need to sign up to get in there. And it's pretty funny the way he writes it. He has a really good writing style and everything, so I'm going to put a link to that. But as far as the Wayne Campbell thing...
Wayne's World.
I don't even think I could do a good Wayne impression. But yeah, that was pretty good. I know I've mentioned before that I'm from Chicago, but it sounds like he's just going by the accent.
That's great.
So that's, although I hate the Chicago accent. That's just because I grew up there.
And then one last thing is there's a guy named Chris, and he made some cool... like Guild Wars books, and what he did was he basically, there's like information that you can get off of the net or off of wiki and whatnot, but he made like this like skills journal and like a list of like Nightfall missions and let's see, does it have maps? It's got maps. Woo-hoo. It's like a little mini strategy guide for Nightfall. So anyway, he sent me two copies of these, and I shipped some to you. I told him I would pass it along too. So,
cool.
All he asked for in return was a shout out to his guild, the Swords of Night and Day. So, thank you.
Oh, we can't do that. The Swords of Night and Day. There you go. We said it twice for two books.
Well, there's three.
Oh, three. The Swords of Night and Day.
What does that mean? The sword.
That's cool, though. So he. He printed it up, or did he, I mean, did he get it printed, or how did he, he just made it himself?
Let's see. I mean, it looks like binding that you can do yourself, but it's nicely done.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. So it's got, like, maps and, it's kind of like a strategy guide, but better?
Yeah, well, it looks like it's, like, straight from the wiki.
Oh, okay.
But it is cool. And that is all.
Howdy, Guild Casketeers, Assassin Haters, Mesmer Diehards, and any combination of the three. This is Logan Starlogic here to bring you a guest segment that, if you, the listeners, like it, and if Sean likes it, I'll make another. But anyway, this segment is called LFG Mission and Bonus. Essentially, what I'll be doing here is taking a mission, giving a little backstory, then plunging into it multiple times, each time attempting to do the mission and bonus, but also using different groups. Say the first group is a pug. The second group, let's say, be a henchy group. And the third one is done with friends. But before I get started, let me give you a little backstory on myself. I'm almost 14. I've been listening to Guildcast since, say, March. And the Roundtable episode. I'm entirely caught up and on the forums. I play a Mesmer Monk who plays a mainly domination build. Now on to the mission. I chose a fitting first mission to start, Great Northern Wall. Shortly after the Searing ended, the Char really hadn't been too active, not attacking many things. You know, occasionally you would see one, but, you know, not too active, I guess, is a fine word. But then word comes that a possible Char army might be brewing for a mass attack on the wall, which would most likely severely damage, if not defeat, the Ascalons once and for all. So Rurik sends you out on a mission to find out if the Char really are building an army. And this is where the true story begins. All right. I'll be running a build that I made myself, mostly, and I'll be using this build for all three times that I do it, the mission, that is. The first skill is Empathy, the second skill is Backfire, third skill is Arcane Echo, fourth skill is Cry of Frustration, fifth skill is Chaos Storm, sixth skill is Mantra of Flame, seventh skill is Resurrection Chant, and eighth skill is Rebirth. If you don't know what any of these skills are, go look them up on Guild Wiki, or Guild Wars Wiki, or the internet. I'm guessing this mission will be probably fairly easy, because I'm level 20 and have almost all max armor. Not entirely all, some of it's like 45 and 30, but mainly all max armor. Well, let's get started. The mission objective was as simple as this. Go and find the army of Bonfaz Bonefur. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And then you have to escape a Char attack force at the very end. You have to outrun them and get to the wall and report to the commander guy. The bonus objective is pretty simple. All you have to do is go and find the four armor pieces of this ghost commander guy and return them to him. There are a couple of the armor pieces which are going to be so easy to find, but also some of the armor pieces are a lot harder to find. First time I went through the mission, I chose to go through with friends, simply because it was more convenient. The people who happened to be online at the time were Solid Smurf, who is a warrior ranger, Knight of Aphrodite, who is a ritualist monk, and Mundungus Belch, who is a ranger ritualist. All three of them are level 20, and I believe they all have max armor. Don't quote me on that. In fact, even some of them had multiple sets. I mean, heck, some of them even had like 15. I mean, geo. But, you know, who could that be? It took a total of 11 minutes to beat the level. Of course, as I mentioned before, we were all level 20, and most of us had max armor. We were pretty much hitting like 100s and 75s, so it really wasn't that hard. But it was definitely more interesting and highly more entertaining. Although, Chio, Knight of Aphrodite, essentially just soloed all of the Char at the end of the mission. We practically didn't have any opposition to run away from. Oh yeah, and just a note, we did play through that while on TeamSpeak, so it made it easier and also more entertaining. Second time I went through with henchmen. The henchmen I chose to bring were Stefan, Alicia, and Reyna. When I went through this, it took me 14 minutes to get the bonus, which was rather difficult because there was lots of low-level enemies, but they kept swarming me, and I wasn't running the mission or anything, so it was a bit more difficult, but still fairly easy. And then a total of 18 minutes to complete the mission, which it was a bit more exciting at the end because Chio wasn't soloing all the char, but we were able to make it back unharmed. I actually had to do this mission twice because I kept getting lost, and I actually lost one of the armor pieces while I was running around. I returned the armor pieces to the ghost, and he said there was one more, and I had to go back and basically go through the whole mission again just to find that one armor piece. So let that be a lesson to you. If you're trying to get through the mission pretty fast and trying to get the bonus, make sure you have all four armor pieces before you talk to the guy, so you won't go having to go back through the mission. I guess one thing that's nicer about humans than henchmen is that they can tell you when you're going the wrong way, normally, unless they've never done the mission either. Next, I tried something that was actually suggested to me by Solid Smurf, was to solo the mission. And I said, you know, I probably could. So that's exactly what I did. I attempted to solo the mission. Easy as pie, but boring as heck. I mean, I was doing great, and I was just casting all my spells and stuff, and it was just a little bit more challenging, but man, if I wasn't on TeamSpeak at the time, I would have been so bored. When I soloed the mission, it took me 14 minutes to get the bonus, and that took me a total of 17 minutes to complete the entire mission. After a long break, because I had been on for a couple of hours, and I was very much sick of Great Northern Wall, I got back on Guild Wars and decided that I would play through Great Northern Wall with a pug. As if you are a longtime Guildcast listener, you probably already know that pug means random pickup group. The pug became sort of less of a pug, but it's okay. Alright, the people in the pug are as follows. Nea Nasuri, I think that's how you pronounce her name. I'm not sure. Then Lacatus Varador, myself, and Rihanna Lewin. Well, the mission itself was not too hard, and it didn't take too long, but essentially the pug was the same as the friends, except for there was only about a couple of people that I didn't know at the time. It still didn't take very long, and it wasn't too hard, and I had about the same impression that I had when I played it with friends. It took a total of 10 minutes to get the bonus, and 17 minutes to complete the mission entirely. Next, I took the advice of Chio, which, after repeatedly suggesting this, I decided that I was going to find a runner, and see about how long it takes a runner to run through Great Northern Wall. I happened to come across Sinea, who said that she would run me, and she did. She was on Rihanna Lewin, which is a ranger. I assisted a little bit, actually, with the help of a cupcake, and we got the bonus done in 8 minutes, and the mission itself done in 12 minutes. This is basically a minute sooner than doing it with friends. Well, after doing all 5 of these missions, yes, I said all 5. Originally, at the beginning, I said 3, but, you know, one thing leads to another. After completing all 5 of these quests that I've given myself, I have done the Great Northern Wall 6 times. Aside from knowing exactly how to beat Great Northern Wall backwards and forwards, I've also found that probably doing it with friends would be the most fun, because especially if you're on TeamSpeak, because otherwise the mission is rather dreary, because normally the only discussion that happens in pugs, well, the pugs that I've been in at least, are more like, run this way, run that way, don't forget this, attack this, and it isn't really all that interesting. As for time-wise, I'd have to say obviously a runner would be the fastest, but if you can simply find a level 20 or a couple of level 20s, they can get it done in almost the exact same time a runner would get it done. Personally, I like this mission. Pretty good mission. Pretty good mission for the first mission in the game. Kind of gives you an idea of what a mission is like. A good bonus that isn't too hard, but just as confusing as basically any other bonus in the game. Minus Ruins of Sirmia. It seems like it could be easily done by just about anyone. You could easily hinge the mission. I mean, no matter what level you are, as long as it's preferably above level 2. Because, I mean, really. There are level 12 characters in there. But that's my take on the mission, and feel free to express your own opinions. Remember, the opinion of Logan Starlogic does not reflect the view of Sean, Lady Sinea, or any other of the many Guild Casketeers or Guild Cast itself. Well, I hope you've enjoyed my segment. I hope it hasn't been too dreary for you. So until next time, it's 3:30 a.m., so I'm going to bed. Good day, and good night. Why I chose these three? Because Orion can't cast a spell to save his life. Okay, probably gonna cut that out. Bonus is... I should probably put the bonus, what it is, at the beginning. Right.
Yeah, edit out this part. Hang on just a second, I'm gonna try to make my burp be quiet. Whatever, who cares what they think? They probably play an assassin anyway. We never say anything controversial on this show.
You're like, totally, dude!
Oh my god! Whoever has a recording of Cal drunk, I will pay them $10,000 if you give it to Sean and we use it in the show. I resign!